Chapter 16. Adamantua. Anterior 6 was dead. They carried him from the crash site and laid him next to the 9 Asmodai fatalities. Daylight waited for Nyman to tell him the extent of the other injuries. Zarathustra clambered back into the wreck to recover his spear. Daylight knew he was also going to mercifully finish off the valiant pilot and co-pilot who had brought them down as intact as they were, and now lay mashed and bleeding out in the Stormbird's compressed nose cone. They were plugged into the dropcraft systems anyway, nerves and neural links. They had burned their minds out, sharing the Stormbird's impact agonies. Even without their limbs and torsos irrecoverably sandwiched in ruptured metal, they could never have been disconnected to walk away. It was a duty Daylight would have preferred to do, but he had command, and there were too many duties to deal with. He appreciated Zarathustra taking that sad burden from him. He looked down at Anterior Six's body. On impact, a fracturing spar had sheared the Wall Brother's head off. "I never thought I'd see him dead," said Tranquility at Daylight's side. The plane they had come down on was a broad one surrounded by low, smoke-dark hills. It was grassy and peppered with curiously pretty blue flowers. Some of the petals, torn up by the crash and scattered by the wind, had fallen across Anterior Six's yellow armour, as if laid there by mourners.
"No time for sentiment," said Daylight. "Give me a situation report, brother."
Tranquility cleared his throat. "Flight crew dead, Daylight," he said. "Transport destroyed, Vox link down. No bearing from our instrumentation and portable auspex is flatlined. Last known location was 40 kilometers short of the blister nest site." Daylight nodded. "No contact with the other birds," said Tranquility.
"I saw one blow out."
"I think at least one crashed before we hit," Tranquility agreed. "Gravity was just shot. We probably all fell out of the sky."
"So we're all that we can count on," said Daylight.
"There might be others nearby who survived the landing, and..." Tranquility began.
"This is not a place where we can deal in mites," replied Daylight. "Even the laws of the universe are playing tricks. We can only count on what we know."
"I understand," replied Tranquility. "Then we have you, and we have me. We have Zarathustra, and we have Bastion Ledge. We have decent resources of ammunition and our close combat weapons. We have no ground transport. We have Major Nyman, a brain-damaged tech adept, and 26 Imperial Guardsmen with kit."
"I thought there were 9 fatalities among the Asmodai."
"There were, outright. But there are 5 more of them, 2 torn up to walk away. Out here, they'll all be dead in an hour, less perhaps. Even with express evacuation to a Medicaid frigate, they probably wouldn't make it."
"We move out," said Daylight. "Find high vantage, assess the landscape, and consider our next action."
Tranquility nodded. Daylight strode back through the flowering grasses towards the Stormbird wreck. Zarathustra was just emerging, spear in hand. He reminded Daylight of one of the ancient pre-Unity demigods, born alive from the belly of a fallen eagle. He liked the old myths. Paintings and tapestries of them filled the galleries and halls of the Imperial Palace, their meanings, names and symbolism lost forever, except perhaps in the memories and dreams of the Emperor.
"Bad?" asked Zarathustra.
"And getting worse," Daylight replied.
"We're heading for those hills. You and I will move ahead with Bastion. Tranquility can escort the guardsmen."
"We should stay together."
"They'll slow us down. They'll never cover the ground like we can. Besides, they're in shock."
"What of their wounded? They'll make them even slower."
"I know. I'll do it."
They walked back to the gathered survivors. A few of the Asmodai were carrying munitions and equipment crates from the opened stowage cavities of the Stormbird. Others crouched beside their injured brethren. Daylight noted that a few had formed a perimeter, las weapons ready. Not in such shock, then. They remembered their duty. The sun came out suddenly, covering the ragged plain and its sea of straw-coloured grasses and nodding flowers in a hot golden light. The roiling black clouds had parted briefly. The Stormbird had torn a 2 kilometer scar across the ground, a long gouge like the one that the Herusian blade had left on Zarathustra's faceplate. The Stormbird's impact had ripped up grasses and soil and bedrock and scattered silvered shreds of its bodywork, wings and undercarriage. The fragments of metal caught the sudden sunlight like pieces of mirror or broken glass scattered in the swishing grasses, or like the cut jewels of a broad cloak spread out behind the noble craft.
"We're moving for those hills," Daylight told Major Nyman.
"I've activated a beacon, sir,"
said Nyman. His voice was a reedy croak issuing through the speaker grill of his orbital armor. Through the tint of the man's visor, Daylight could see an abrasion head wound that was starting to clot.
"Good. At least any who follow can trace our landing point."
"Will any follow?"
asked Nyman. Daylight was turning away, but he stopped to look back down at the human soldier.
"I told them not to, but Lord Commander Militant Heth will send others," he said. "He will not give up. I would not in his place."
Nyman followed Daylight over to the Asmodai casualties.
"Some of us will scout ahead," Daylight told him, "but even allowing for your rate of advance, we cannot be encumbered. You know what I have to do."
Nyman's mouth opened in horror, but he had no words.
"They will all be dead in an hour. Less, perhaps," put in Tranquility, repeating the summation he'd made to Daylight. "Even with express evacuation to a Medicae frigate, they probably wouldn't make it."
There was a moment's pause. The sunlight blazed. Radiation made their built-in meters crackle like crickets at dusk. Thunder, wind, and volcanics rumbled in the distance and made the ground fidget.
"Is there going to be an issue here?" Daylight asked Major Nyman.
"No issue, sir,"
Nyman replied with great effort. He turned his back and signaled his men to do the same. In slow realization and horror, they stepped back and looked towards the bleak edges of a horizon bowl. One hesitated, a hand on the grip of his sidearm. Bastion looked at him, and that was enough. Zarathustra came to stand with Nyman and his men and gazed at the distant hills and the sky filled with smoke. He began to declare the Litany of the Fallen, as it was said in chapels and templums and sacristies across the loving Imperium, the words set down by Malkador himself during the bloodiest months of the heresy. His voice was clear and strong, and carried from the speaker of his battle helm. Bastion and Tranquility joined him in his declaration, a mark of honour to the fallen guard and the sacrifice of the Asmodai. Nyman made the sign of the Aquila. The three Wall brothers boosted the amplification of their speakers as they intoned the litany, partly to add power to their statement of respect, and partly to mask the sound of bones snapping. Daylight drew a breath, and then, quickly and gently, broke 5 human necks in quick succession.